It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and online at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
The first thing to do is not to freak out. Take your time. If they're in place, it is a curable problem. If they are there, do not throw away your furniture until after you have spoken to an expert in the field, because there's many cases where in the early days when bed bug infestations were first starting out, even the pest control field had very little experience in what to do with them. Now we've had a lot of research. We've had 5 years of very good research in how to control bed bugs, and most pest control companies are up to speed. So basically, you would, if it's a small infestation, there is some things that you can do on your own. Diatomaceous earth is a relative green product, and it works very well in drying out the bed bugs. So you can put small amounts of that in the areas where you're actually seeing the bed bugs.
Professional exterminator Craig Duncan with EUI EnviroPro and Exterminating Unlimited gives expert inside advice on how to protect yourself from bed bugs and what to do if you find them. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll learn about new online services available with a My Social Security account. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 195, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Last month, the Social Security Administration, or SSA, announced the agency is expanding the services available with a My Social Security account, a personalized online account that people can use beginning in their working years and continuing throughout the time they receive Social Security benefits. More than 60 million Social Security beneficiaries and Supplemental Security Income, or SSI, recipients can now access their benefit verification letter, payment history, and earnings record instantly using their online account. Beneficiaries also can change their address and start or change direct deposit information online. Beneficiaries with a My Social Security account can go online and get an official benefit verification letter instantly. This letter serves as proof of income to secure loans, mortgages, and other housing, and state or local benefits. Additionally, people can use the letter to prove current Medicare health insurance coverage, retirement or disability status, and age. Social Security processed nearly 9 million requests for benefit verification letters in the past year. This new online service allows people to conduct business with a Social Security administration without having to visit an office or make a phone call, and very often wait for a letter to arrive in the mail. It also will reduce the time spent by employees completing these requests and free them to focus on other workloads. People age 18 and older can sign up for an account at www.socialsecurity.gov/myaccount. Once there, you must be able to provide information about yourself and answers to questions that only you are likely to know. After completing the secure verification process, you can create a My Social Security account with a unique username and password to access your information. People 18 years of age and older who are not receiving benefits can sign up for a My Social Security account to get a personalized online Social Security statement. The online statement provides eligible workers with secure and convenient access to your Social Security earnings and benefit information, and estimates of future benefits you can use to plan for retirement. In addition, the portal also includes links to information about other online services, such as applications for retirement, disability, and Medicare. For more information, go to www.socialsecurity.gov/myaccount. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, and we are talking with Craig Duncan. He is with Exterminating Unlimited, and we are going to be talking about pest control in rental housing. Welcome to the show, Craig.
Thank you for being here.
Now, I understand you've been in the pest control business for over 30 years, and the big issue that is affecting rental housing these days, especially in Richmond, is bed bugs. Would you tell us what are bed bugs? Where do they come from? Give us the 101 on bed bugs.
Okay, sure. Bed bugs primarily are a blood-feeding insect, very much like a mosquito or a flea, not known to transmit diseases, and actually have been a problem throughout history. From 1945 forward, they kind of diminished in their popularity or in their transmission. They've been around, but just not to the epidemic stages that we're seeing today, primarily because of DDT. DDT was introduced when the guys came back from World War II. They were being deloused by it, and it became a very familiar pesticide on the shelves, and everyone was using DDT, whether it be for mosquitoes or for bed bugs, as well as other crawling insects. That pretty much eliminated bed bug population in the United States.
So why have they made a resurgence?
Well, some of the products that we have been using that were very stable in the environment, sometimes too stable, have been regulated or regulated out of the primary markets. And with very little resistance, bed bugs have returned. The other thing that's taken place is we're a lot more transient than we've ever been before. There's a lot of reuse of furniture, and even the recycling industry has added to introducing bed bugs into populations that previously were immune to it.
And how do bed bugs get introduced into premises, whether they are rental property or other properties?
Primarily, they have to be brought into the building. They're not going to come in from the outside, say like a spider or a cricket or some of the outdoor creatures. They don't fly. They pretty much are great hitchhikers. They'll either be in used furniture, clothing, or, you know, could be in the unit next door and kind of come to visit.
So when they hitchhike, whether it's on furniture or clothing, can they actually hitchhike on a person's clothing and go from place to place that way?
Yes, they can. Primarily, the clothing, they'll get into the clothing during their resting stages, which is during the day. They primarily feed at night in between, say, midnight and 4 o'clock in the morning. But if you've got your clothes stored under the bed or in a closet that has an infestation, they'll be kind of nesting there, not necessarily to hitchhike, but just because you're taking their bed with them.
Does poor housekeeping have anything to do with bed bugs? I know some property managers think that it might.
No, poor housekeeping really is, they are not a filth pest, if you want to term them that way. They're primarily a pest of opportunity. They have been infested in some of the department stores in New York City. They've been in the Ritz-Carlton and the Hotel 6 or any other, you know, avenue or place where people are. They're opportunists. If there's a blood meal available, that's where they'll be.
Now, a lot of property managers, when bed bugs get reported, believe that it has to be the tenant's fault, and they will bill the tenant for the cost of extermination, and we can get into that later. But as a pest control expert, can you tell us, how would one determine where the bed bugs came from, who's at fault, and if a particular tenant is at fault?
If it's a very low population of bed bugs, it's next to impossible to determine that. If it is a well-established colony, then you look at things like how long has the tenant been in the building? How long have the bed bugs been present? You know, who's being bit? How many people in the resident are being bit? And basically, there is nesting sites. There's areas where, you know, they defecate and will leave a stain. As they grow, they go through 7 instars or growth stages, they will shed their skin. So there's actually molted skin in places, as well as, you know, you would determine, is it on the furniture or is it in the outlet? Is it near the light switch or is it on the coffee table, the mattress? You know, there's a lot of things that you look at.
And would the size of the nest site, the size of the, I guess, discarded shells, because I gather they discard their shells as they grow, or the size of the stains or the defecation, would that give you a clue as well?
Yeah, that would be a really good indication as to the basically how many exoskeletons are available or how much blood stains are around. You know, basically the quantity versus size.
So I gather that if you saw a larger, I guess, pile in the unit and a smaller pile in the furniture, I guess it would be reasonable to assume they were there when the tenant moved in.
If it was in the structure more so than the furniture, if the tenant brought the furniture with them and there was a lot of evidence of bed bugs in the furniture, in the sofa, you know, masses of staining around the ribbing of a sofa cushion. You know, they may have been in that sofa for a while, but now if you look at the building itself, where they're clustered around, say, the phone jack behind the bed or the electrical outlet in the wall, if they're clustered inside of there, obviously they're nesting in the building, not necessarily the furniture.
Okay, and I gather the reverse would also be true if you found a large nesting site on the furniture but very few sites elsewhere in the premises. Then I guess what would the inference be there?
Then you would lean to, okay, they probably came in with the furniture, whether that furniture was brought in by the tenant or if the furniture was furnished in the unit. You know, you would kind of have to do some investigation and interview the tenants as well as the property owner.
And is this type of determination something that really needs to be made by an expert, or could a layperson, like a property manager, make this determination?
I think if you really want a good assessment, you would want to get someone, a third party, an expert, somebody that has been in the field and dealing with bed bug infestations for a number of years.
So what can tenants do, if anything, to prevent this problem, given that bed bugs are excellent hitchhikers and could come from a neighboring unit? What can tenants do to protect themselves?
Primarily, a visual inspection. A full-grown bed bug is the size of an apple seed or a lentil. You know, so it's a visible insect. You can visibly see it. Of course, when they first come out of their shell or their egg, they're very small. You'd have to know what you're looking at to see them, but they are visible. So before you move into a unit or shortly thereafter, do a visual inspection. Are you seeing something that looks out of place? Are you seeing something that is unusual? Or, you know, if you think it's a bed bug, go online. I mean, there is more information about bed bugs out there than ever before, but I would caution you to use either a government website or a university website. There are a lot of products on the market that are quite ineffective that someone's trying to sell you just because it's a feared insect.
So if a tenant thinks they do have bed bugs, what do you recommend that they do after they've done their research and they're pretty sure they've got them?
The first thing to do is not to freak out. Take your time. If they're in place, it is a curable problem. If they are there, do not throw away your furniture until after you have spoken to an expert in the field. Because there's many cases where in the early days when bed bug infestations were first starting out, even the pest control field had very little experience in what to do with them. Now we've had a lot of research. We've had 5 years of very good research in how to control bed bugs, and most pest control companies are up to speed. So basically, you would, if it's a small infestation, there is some things that you can do on your own. Diatomaceous earth is a relative green product, and it works very well in drying out the bed bugs. So you can put small amounts of that in the areas where you're actually seeing the bed bugs. One thing that you don't want to do is dust your house with diatomaceous earth or any insecticide. You want to read and follow the instructions on the label exactly like they're written. But you kind of want to be the pizza guy. You know, if the pizza guy drives by the house and throws a pizza out at the end of your driveway, you're not likely to go out and feed on that or come in contact with that. But if he takes and brings it hot and places it on the table before you, you're probably going to enjoy that pizza. Same thing with an insecticide application. You want to put it at the site where the insects are, so they'll be very likely to come in contact with it.
What should the tenant do in terms of reporting this to the landlord?
Okay, this is probably the biggest misnomer, is I shouldn't tell anybody. That's one of the stigmatisms that is causing bed bugs to proliferate and be shared, because there's a lot of fear of being ostracized. There's fear of that. And then there's the expense of, is he going to charge me because these bed bugs are here? You need to report it and then come to an agreement what to do about it. Ignoring the problem, they will not go away on their own, and it will continue to get worse to the point where it can have effects on you, not only physically because of scarring, but there's also a mental fear that comes in. I mean, I've dealt with people who have had bed bugs, and we've gotten rid of them 2 or 3 years ago, but now each and every time they get a bite or see a bump on their child, that fear comes through them, and they actually have a psychological problem because these bed bugs have been in place.
So as a professional in the field for 30-plus years, in your view, what is the proper way to get rid of a bed bug infestation?
Okay, number one, you need to identify the source. Eliminate, if you have someone continuously bringing them in, we need to interrupt how they're getting into the structure. Isolate the infestation, and then start. There's basically a variety of treatments that need to be done to eliminate them. You need to interrupt their breeding cycle, if you will. Basically, there are some products on the market that will allow them not to reproduce. Get rid of the adults, either by, there's another thing that you can do, is steaming, just with a steamer like you use to de-wrinkle your clothes. You can use that on the insect populations. Physical removal, you can vacuum them, physically remove those. And then if they're in the mattresses and box springs, they're really, really hard to get into every crack and crevice where a bed bug will hide, because they are excellent hiders. Thigmotrophic is our $10 word for the day. They like to be where their stomach and back are touching, hiding in an area where they're in a crack and crevice where you're not readily going to find them. But you'll find them through their droppings or through their exoskeletons, or visibly see them as they're hiding. But you can take a steamer and go into those cracks and crevices and kill the adults. It will also kill the egg stage, which is vital. The eggs are small, opaque, dust particle size. They're visible, but they're very, very small, and you have to kill those with steam or some type of heat. Anything over 120 degrees will kill the egg stage. If you're going to use a heat treatment, which is like a chamber that you can actually build in a unit, or there's several products on the market called pack tights, which is basically a heater that you can put items like books and book bags and that sort of thing in, bring it up to 120 degrees for 1 hour, you kill the adult, you kill the eggs, no pesticides used, you can wear the clothes right afterwards, and it takes care of the problem.
And I gather that bed bugs are rather cold tolerant. You can even freeze them and they'll thaw out, but they're not heat tolerant. Is that correct?
That's correct. And most insects, anything over 120 degrees for an hour will kill all stages of that insect. But fleas, bed bugs, and a number of other insects basically go through a dormant stage or get dormant during cold processes. I mean, you can freeze them and they will slowly come back to life and find some food sources. Typically, they're most active at 70 degrees and over. They will be sluggish, but they're not going to sit there and starve to death if it's 50 degrees in the apartment.
And I guess the last question about bed bugs would be this. How many treatments does it take to really get an extermination done, especially if we're talking about an apartment complex where you might have several units involved?
Typically, with a very thorough treatment, it's three treatments. You do an initial. This is the way we do it. We have an initial. We'll go out 2 weeks later and do a follow-up, and then 30 days after that, do your last follow-up. And with the client's cooperation, we can achieve very good success during that time frame. The reason that we do that 45-day process is because if there are any eggs in the walls or in the furniture, those eggs will have a chance to hatch and then come in contact with the treated surface. Most of the insecticides, other than heat or fumigation, will not kill the egg stage. It won't penetrate through the outside of the egg.
And I guess one final question is this, that tenants are often told to get rid of the furniture right away or very soon after, things like sofas, mattresses, things of that nature. Is this good advice, or are there alternatives to that?
Primarily for the mattresses, there are great alternatives. Any encasement, you can go to places like Bed Bath or Beyond and get a very good, it's called a bed, we use Protecta bed bug encasements or mattress encasements. They're hypoallergenic. That is your better bet instead of throwing out the mattresses. Most other furnitures with a thorough inspection, a vacuum cleaner, and a cleaning can be salvaged. Now, if there's a massive population, sometimes it makes more sense just to throw that away and get a new one. But again, in the early days, everybody was throwing out their furniture needlessly.
Well, thank you very much. We have been talking with Craig Duncan. He is a pest control expert with Exterminating Unlimited, and we have been talking about pest control in rental housing, particularly focusing on bed bugs. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
I'm Michelle King for the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. Here's this week's legal aid success story, a true tale where justice prevailed. Katrina was struggling to get off welfare and gain employment at a stable job to support her two young children. However, because of the geographic size of Miami-Dade County, where she lives and works, she needed a reliable automobile to reduce her 3-hour commute on public transportation and remain employed. While Florida state law allows welfare recipients in such a situation to purchase an automobile, there was no formal application form or procedure for Katrina to submit her request. Therefore, she asked her supportive services caseworker to provide her with an automobile. Following several months of waiting, her request was verbally denied.
Katrina then turned to Legal Services of Greater Miami, who agreed to find her transportation. Legal Services of Greater Miami found that not only was there no application form or procedure, but there were also no policies or procedures to guarantee due process protections for people like Katrina. As a result, Legal Services of Greater Miami filed an action in the Florida 3rd District Court of Appeals. Due to negotiations, Katrina eventually received $8,500 toward the purchase of an automobile, as allowed by Florida law. Additionally, Legal Services of Greater Miami assisted in developing an application process for others in Katrina's situation, which included standards to evaluate requests and a detailed client-accessible grievance procedure. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and that's this week's Legal Aid Success Story, a true tale where justice prevailed.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Removing mold safely and effectively, especially in rental housing, is not as easy as you might think. Join us next week when professional mold remediator Craig Duncan with EUI EnviroPro and Exterminating Unlimited gives expert inside advice about what mold is, when you may be at risk, and what to do about it. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.